Welcome to the Gaming Gang Extra number 2, sponsored by Victory Point Games. This time around, I'm joined by Jolly Roger Games' very own Jim Dietz as we talk about Founding Fathers, the upcoming Pirates vs. Dinosaurs, and Free at Last, as well as all things JRG, as recorded at this year's Origins 2011. I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. Hi everyone, it's nice to be home after a grueling trip to Origins 2011. Elliot and I decided to provide our coverage of the convention a bit differently than what you might normally run across online. Instead of chopping up our interviews with the people behind our awesome hobby to include into our regularly scheduled show, we're going to present each interview as one of our The Gaming Gang Extras. This way you can pick and choose what you'd like to listen to. Hopefully, you'll take time to give a listen to all the interviews we did. Regardless, our upcoming podcast will be an overall rundown of our experience at Origins, along with our usual fare. One game I've been chomping at the bit to check out is Founding Fathers from Jolly Roger Games. So I was pleased to have an opportunity to stop by the Jolly Roger booth at Origins. Jim Dietz was kind enough to not only agree to one interview, but as I later found the sound quality of that first chat to be lacking, he was kind enough to take time out to talk to me yet again on the last day of the convention. So kick back as we chat about all things Jolly Roger in this, our second TGG Extra. Jim Dietz from Jolly Roger Games has decided to join us. How is it going at the show so far, Jim?
It's okay. This interview is kind of like deja vu.
Yes, it's true. We did record an interview yesterday, day before yesterday. Yeah, it's all one big day, I'm sure for you as well. And we started to listen to it, and it was like, wait a second. There's some buzzing that runs throughout this whole interview. It was ruined. So I wanted to come back because I really wanted to share with our listeners the story of Jolly Roger and especially Founding Fathers and the upcoming game you have, Free at Last, I believe it was.
Well, and in that regard, I'd love to have buzz. All right, I'm sorry, that's really a bad joke, but, you know, suck it up out there. It's been okay. Founding Fathers has done really well. And so we've started working on like a second edition with small changes.
Anything you want to mention, the changes in the second printing?
There's some typos in it. The only one that's really important is the scoring on the player sheets is different than what the rule says. As long as everybody plays it the same, it doesn't matter. But it's more the principle there. And a couple of the others are things like inappropriate use of IT apostrophe S instead of ITS.
Oh no, I am huge on that.
You know, we went over like 35,000 times, and Jason and Christian are like, oh my God, we missed that. But it's just being picky. The big change really is going to be the cards. We've had a few people say, well, the cards aren't thick enough. And sometimes it may depend on how you decide to shuffle or if you sleeve cards and all that. So we're in the process of trying to upgrade the cards. In terms of pricing it out, we're aiming for more of a Vegas quality card type. But we were also, with the printer, talking to them about doing extra decks so that if people bought the games that are already out and they really don't like the cards or whatever, that hopefully those will be available from us. We'll try. If the deck's $4, we're going to charge $4. So the whatever it actually costs for production, that's pretty much what people are going to pay to get a replacement card deck.
That's very fair.
I just want people to play the game. And that's been the nice thing, is that there have been zero complaints about the game, even here, now that it's second Origins, even though technically it's only been out about 9 months. Everybody has loved playing the game, and they've come back, wow, this was incredible. Jason always jokes, he comes up when he's here at the booth talking about, you know, really, if you ever play any game on the Constitutional Convention, this should be the one.
It's got to be, absolutely, hands down, the only game I would recommend, only one.
It is definitely the best game on the Constitutional Convention you will ever find.
Ever made.
Useless trivia, because it's not on Board Game Geek. There was another game made on the Constitutional Convention made for the educational market in the 1970s. It's copyrighted like 1976, and I know this because it's in my basement. But I found, I'm like, well, this is okay. And I found that a couple years before we started work on Founding Fathers, which, you know, it's like, oh, okay. Let's see, the other stuff, you know, over the years, it's, how come you don't have a pirate game? Well, we have Swashbuckler. We got a role-playing game on it. That doesn't count. That's not a game.
Do you remember the old Yaquinto game, I want to say it was called Swashbuckler, wasn't it?
It was. It was one of their album games, yes. Along with like United Nations and right. Ultimatum.
Fast Attack Boats.
Yes, and Raider. Oh yeah. I love the old Yaquinto games are great. Especially Ultimatum. There's just like nothing like dropping Mervs on the other guy's country and killing millions of people.
That's what nuclear war's for.
Yes. Now, for everybody listening at home, we do not recommend you try this at home. Do not kill millions of people. Okay, that's not good. Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, keeping in mind, too, that if they go and they check out those books from the library, they're going to be flagged by the authorities. So that's probably not a good idea either.
Yeah, I guess this is the point that I should sit here and say anthrax, A-bomb, terrorist, Bin Laden. When the appropriate authorities are going right. through all this, they can flag. And that should help the listenership. That should spike by 50, 60,000 while
I would think.
Listens.
I would think so. And, you know, when the FBI comes knocking on my door, I will definitely make sure to give them your card.
Oh, hey, and I appreciate that. You know, there's nothing like a good FBI knock at 6 in the morning. So, but anyway, we catch crap for not having a pirate game. And about 12, 13 years ago, when my son was young and wanted to be an aspiring game designer, he came up with a game design when he was 5. And he lined up all his pirate toys on one side of the room, lined up all his dinosaurs on the other, and created a game. He said, look, Dad, I got a game. It's called Pirates versus Dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's a really brilliant game because I have never seen a Pirates versus Dinosaurs game. And so started trying to work on it and came up with a couple near misses. And so I sent them to Frank Branham down in Atlanta, who's a great guy and did Warhamster Rally and Four Dragons for us. And he worked on it, and he's like, oh, it's so close. And then a couple years ago here at Origins, I met Richard Lanius, mm-hmm. who did Arkham Horror and Defenders right. of the Realm.
Oh, yeah.
And my kids love Defenders of the Realm. He's like, now, Jim, you know, I'd love to do a game for Jolly Roger Games. I'm like, well, great, just let me know. He's like, well, no, you need to tell me the theme, and then I'll do the game. I was like, well, my son, many years ago, came up with this concept of Pirates versus Dinosaurs. He's like, that's brilliant. I love it. And about a month later, I had the first prototype of the game. And now we're about 2 years later, and the game is finally near production. I'm hoping the art's supposed to be done. It was done this summer, which really means the game will be available by Christmas. And so we're taking pre-orders, and as the art gets finished, I'm putting up on Board Game Geek so people can see if they pre-order that I'm not stealing their money and heading to Jamaica or anything like that.
I thought it was Mazatlan you were thinking of.
Yeah, no, I burn way too easy. So really, if I was going to embezzle money, it'd be to go someplace like, you know, Nanushka, you know, or something like that. So that's not happening. But Pirates versus Dinosaurs will be next. The family game after that is going to be called Family Vacation by Philip DuBerry, who did Revolution for Steve Jackson Games and Kingdom of Solomon. It's about trying to keep your family of four happy while you take a vacation and race around the United States to see the sights.
And we know that can be a very difficult endeavor.
Yes, and you do need to take bathroom breaks in the game. And everybody in your family likes different things, so it's a lot of fun. Sure. And it plays in about an hour.
If I may jump back to Pirates versus Dinosaurs, I believe there's a rumor floating around there's going to be a specific kind of meeple that might be in that game. What would that be, Jim?
Oh, that was from our other interview that got buzzed.
That's right. That's what I wanted to get back to it.
I'm a sucker for custom meeples. You know, Surf's Ups has, like, the surfing meeples.
Right.
So we've got a design for the giant 2-inch T-Rex on roids meeple, which in game terms, if it comes out and it comes out into the game, you actually get to place it on the island. It starts eating pirates wherever it is, and you need to, like, play natives, kind of shoo it away to some other place on the island, where it will eat somebody else's pirates.
Exactly.
You just can't have enough pirate eating in a
game. Oh, I'm right with you.
So
pirates and zombies.
Yeah, too many zombie games now.
We were talking about that with someone else here, yes.
So, yeah, I like being ahead of the curve on things. Because we had Mall of America a zillion years ago, right. You know, and then did like the Cthulhu book and some of this other stuff. And it's like, yep, and other people jump on. Now that I produce stuff in China, now I have the higher quality bits and stuff to...
Sure.
To match. By the way, they're back to Founding Fathers. You know, it's really weird to think that a game about the American Constitution and how wonderful this country is made in China.
That is a bit ironic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But to survive in this industry, you know, these are things that have to be done.
I'm hoping that changes because I heard from a couple of American manufacturing plants here that they're trying to make their costs competitive.
Right.
And if that would be the case, you know, it's capitalism. I got to go with whoever's going to provide the best quality at the lowest cost. So we'll see how that goes.
I find it interesting that you'll have so many miniature companies out there that can make miniatures here in the U.S., yet gaming companies, it's much more difficult to have what you would think would be an easier product to manufacture.
I don't understand it. It's like politics and everything else, you know.
As far as Founding Fathers, how is the history of Founding Fathers a bit different than, let's say, Sarah Palin's version of history?
Oh, well, first off, the designers are aware that Concord and all that happen to be in Massachusetts. Oh, that's a Michelle Bachmann comment. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Wrong, ignorant politician. And for anybody out there that's now getting mad, I will, as a disclaimer, admit that Bachmann and Palin are both very attractive, and I hope they run as Republicans because I would enjoy that campaign for several months. I'm also a Republican, so I can say this sort of crap, that all of the Republican candidates are idiots, and I would really rather vote for the molding corpse of Ronald Reagan than any of the people running right now for the Republicans.
It's not as if the Democrats have anybody really knocking anybody's socks off either, but...
No. Okay, back to games. After Founding Fathers, I'm finding I'm liking unique historical games with certain events.
This one sounds really exciting. I think I know where you're going.
So Jason and Christian recommended a guy to me that produced a game that had been inspired by their earlier game, like Twilight Struggle, which is also a fabulous two-player game.
It's our favorite game.
Yeah, because you guys are playing that over in the board game era. Anyway, he had created a two-player game on a unique field. And so I checked it out, liked it, talked with the designer, and we're pretty comfortable with each other. And he's finishing it up, and it's called Free at Last. And it's a two-player board game of the American Civil Rights Movement of the 50s and 60s. It's pretty cool because there's a lot of tension for both sides, the establishment and the civil rights activists, on what path to take. Do you use violence to repress the protesters? Do you use violence to attack the system? Or do you take a more peaceful approach? When is it right to do what Martin Luther King Jr. did with the civil disobedience and the peaceful approach? And there's a tension because the violent means is effective, but there's a cost for it. Likewise, there are points where sitting and just protesting may not gather the right sort of attention that you want. And so I think this is going to be a great game because there are no other games on this. And if you can produce a good game on a subject where people can learn and be educated on it, I think that's good. And ultimately, with a subject like civil rights, there's zero question that civil rights are a great thing. And the courage of those people, or a Texas president, I don't like Johnson, and I find it ironic because Johnson was a racist. He's from the South.
Yes.
And who is it that uses all his political skill to ram through the Civil Rights Act of 1964? It's Lyndon Johnson. I find some of this to be fascinating, and not a lot of people know it. So that if a game like this can show you ultimately who the good guys are, but give you a little empathy or insight into how people could have different views, I think that's important. It doesn't have to be controversial or argumentative. I think it can be educational on something that really is affecting the United States 50 years later and is something related going back to the Civil War.
Exactly.
The founding of our country.
And it's an issue that, yeah, it goes back 200 years. And if we can sneak some education in, the intention will be to, on the cards, use like the photographs and provide some biographies. In the rules, provide a little brief summary of the civil rights movement and maybe biographies of some of the people that may not be known beyond your Rosa Parks, beyond Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., Wallace, the governor.
Yep. George Wallace.
George Wallace. I was thinking William Wallace. And it's like,
right, yeah.
No.
Freedom!
Wrong guy there. Mel Gibson dies at the end. So, by the way, if you haven't seen Braveheart, I'm really sorry for making a comment about Mel Gibson dying.
There went the spoiler right there.
Yeah, that's my bad. And then after that, finished talks with Jason and Christian, the Founding Fathers designers, about another historical game. I can't tell you what it's about yet.
I did try to twist your arm, Jim. I did physically grab your arm and twist it, and then you punched me. But anyway, no, you wouldn't tell me.
I watch too much TV. Violence is golden. but the cool thing is it's going to be another multiplayer game like Founding Fathers, but there will be at least a hint of cooperation in this between players. It will not all be everybody's opposed. There will be times you need to work with other players. And then while we were doing that, it turns out there's another game they've been working on that sometimes they hear, all you do is American history games. Well, they have another one that we're going to see how it works that actually involves Europeans. And so it'll be another multiplayer game.
And then you'll hear, oh, why did you do a European history game? I thought you guys did American history.
Yeah, and...
you know you'll hear it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, as long as the games are good.
That's right.
What I love about Jason and Christian to this point, and it's not a Jolly Roger thing, is every one of the games that they have made, whether it's Founding Fathers, Campaign Manager, 1960, you know, Jason and Gupa on Twilight Struggle,
right?
All of these games are good games. And so you can see their name on a box and know you're going to get a quality product. That it doesn't, it could be GMT, you know, Jolly Roger, it doesn't matter.
Right.
That it's going to be a fabulous game. And I really appreciate that when you're looking to purchase a game. I feel the same way about Richard and Pirates versus Dinosaurs, because Arkham Horror is great, Defenders of the Realm is great. And I'm sitting here talking to all this, and I feel like I've just run a NASCAR race. You know, I want to thank all the sponsors, you know, Richard Lanius,
right,
Jason,
exactly,
and
yes.
Christian, the Jolly Rogers, GMT, you know, the Defenders of the Realm, mm-hmm. and Milk, It Does a Body Good.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, don't do drugs. Not heavily. I mean, at all. So, yeah. Yeah, seriously, really don't do them at all. They will mess you up, and that is really bad.
This comes from an educator.
Yeah, it does. And if my kids did, I'd smack them around. Actually, I really should be paying you guys to do this. If you'd, like, go back and edit all this so that inside, like, every third word, it just says, buy my product.
Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger. Founding Fathers. So that maybe that would increase sales. I'd be okay with that.
I had one question regarding Free at Last, because one player will play the Southern establishment or the anti-civil rights establishment. Do you feel that that might be a hindrance? Because, for an example, let's use Twilight Struggle. I don't mind playing the Soviets. In fact, that's all I'm ever really allowed to play. Do you think it might fall into a category where somebody will be, well, you know, I really just don't feel comfortable playing that?
I think it's possible, and it's a very fine balancing line with a game in how you do it. That you do run the risk of offending people,
right,
on potentially either side of the issue. But if you're aware of that, I don't think it's a major issue, believe it or not, because when you look at a lot of the games out here, you have people more than willing to deploy SS units in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That there's a game...
British royalty has no problem dressing up as SS officers.
Right. Well, and, you know, there was a game that just came out. It's like, what was it? East Prussia Pocket. It's about the Konigsberg 45, a small company made. Every time the Russians go through a town or approach a town, it creates a refugee counter. The Russians can move over it and massacre the refugee counter.
Right.
Well, you know, is that miserable? Yeah, I'm really glad that, like, my grandparents weren't part of that or anything like that. But the reality is that happened. And I think it is more important to bring some of this stuff out into the open, in the light. I don't glory in an SS unit, but they did fight.
Right.
You know, I don't glory in Stalin massacring, you know, the Ukraine, but it did happen. You can't hide from history. You know, I've joked with you a lot about stuff the past few days, but I really do believe sincerely that history, if you bring the bad out into the light, that it keeps it from happening again and educates people. In the United States, so many people don't know the Constitution that this game has helped with that. We've had people overseas. I've never known any of this. And, you know, so they've gone out, do you have book recommendations? I want to learn more. And it's like, oh, God, yes. Listening to this, I would tell you that the book to read, if that interests you, is Miracle in Philadelphia. It's about 35, 40 years old. It's short. It's only about 180, 190 pages. It's a fabulous book, easy to read, and you will get an appreciation for everybody at that. We want to do the same thing with the civil rights movement. And I have empathy for the people involved, and it isn't all clear cut. My wife and I were out at the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame a couple years ago.
Kansas City, isn't it?
Absolutely. Downtown Kansas City on Vine Street, next to the Jazz Museum as well, which is fabulous. It's like $10 to visit both. It was a few months before Buck O'Neill died. He was on the tour that we took.
Oh, wow.
It was a special day there, and they didn't have a lot of people. It was Buck O'Neill, Dennis Oil Can Boyd, who pitched for Boston,
right,
in the Expos.
I remember him.
Oil Can's uncle, who's an artist and turned out to pitch in the Negro Leagues. the director of the facility gave us a tour, and somebody raised a question about Jackie Robinson and desegregation. And the director said something I had never thought of before. He said, it's a good thing. Never question that. But everybody just sees this as an either-or issue. Segregation was not bad for black communities. There were many black businesses, small businesses, mom-and-pop grocery stores that all were in business. And the minute that there was desegregation and equality, large companies, maybe it's JCPenney's or Sears, and that's Jim making throwing those names out there, not those actual companies.
I'll put a disclaimer before your whole interview, before and after.
No problem. that they came in, and because they were big companies and established, they had money, and it drove a lot of these black businesses out and into bankruptcy, so that a lot of people lost their jobs, and where they may have owned companies, now they found themselves having to work for other people before. Mm-hmm. And so that there was a downside to desegregation that most people don't realize. And I had never thought about that before, that it's like, wow, that does make a difference. If you look at it from the other side, you have to have sympathy for those people. You have to have it for the little guys on both sides. That there's a lot to this that's above and beyond George Wallace and Martin Luther King Jr. There are a lot of other people who sacrificed for what they believe in and for what they thought was the good of the country. Were some of them wrong? Absolutely. There's, you know, I know George Wallace in the end basically apologized and said, I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong.
Might have been too little too late.
Oh, clearly, but at least he realized that. But it's good to know that people care about their country. I hope they care about their country. And it's not that people are willing to be selfless for a good cause, whether it's the, you know, the sit-ins in Birmingham, you know, Eisenhower sending in the 101st to make sure that the school kids can get there and all that.
Right.
There are a lot of people involved that should be remembered that have been forgotten. If Free at Last can get some of those names out there again, it'll be a successful game. Does it help that it's a good game? Yeah. I think that's
I'm really looking forward to it. In all honesty, I would say out of the interviews that I've done, and even a lot of the people we've talked to just off the record, Free at Last really is, I would say, top two of what I'm looking forward to see come out.
I would hope so, and I'm looking forward to it because if we can put it out so that it looks a lot like Founding Fathers, and I'll be honest, the Founding Fathers' success has been enough that the plan is now to have several games, all the same box size, the same style, on American history, something that affects American history. I think that Free at Last could be an absolutely incredible product.
Fantastic.
So,
if I may, as we finish up, I just wanted to ask, because you know, we're here at Origins, you've got all your great products out here, you've got family games, you've got, of course, Founding Fathers and your Surf's Up. If people couldn't make it out to Origins, and let's say, hey, you know what, I really need to go and pre-order Free at Last, or I got to get myself a copy of Founding Fathers, what website would they go to?
Well, it's pretty easy, actually. And they, right now, you can't pre-order Free at Last, because I don't know what the price is going to be. I don't have a clue. But like Pirates versus Dinosaurs, that's up there. Family Vacation's up there. And it's just jollyrogergames.com. Sometimes we have people type in jollyrogergames.net, but amazingly, that will direct you to jollyrogergames.com.
I know how domain forwarding works.
I did, and I had to have somebody like do that for me, because I'm technologically incompetent.
And there's no D in Roger.
No, no D. Not in my Roger.
There you go.
So I appreciate the time, and hopefully, you know, this will be the right sort of buzz.
That's right. And instead of the other interview we did that was just totally wiped out. Jim, thank you so much for taking time out a second time to talk with us. And I'm really looking forward. I picked up a copy of Founding Fathers myself, so we're going to have a review of that. All the best, and look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate it. We'll see you again next year.
One thing I'm always struck by when attending a show is the great people you'll meet throughout our hobby. No doubt you can tell Jim Dietz is one of those folks you'd really enjoy sitting down and talking with, and you'd want to make sure that you keep in touch after the convention's over. Obviously, he's a great guy, and we'll be looking to bring you more info about Pirates versus Dinosaurs in the future. And I'm personally anxiously awaiting the release of Free at Last, because it sounds really intriguing. there you have it. I'd just like to say thanks once again to Jim Dietz for taking time out to provide some insight into all things Jolly Roger Games. We'll be enjoying their current releases and looking forward to the new titles on the horizon. And thanks again to our great sponsor, Victory Point Games, where the gameplay is the thing. Keep in mind, Elliot and I will be back soon for our regularly scheduled show. So until then, thanks for listening.